Welcome to Peter's Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Namaste. Welcome. Happy New Year if I haven't seen you yet. I was at a class with Alan earlier in the week, and he did a practice saying it was a good one for the new year, and pondering that, I decided that's a good idea. Let's do that. The practice is about how we, in our sort of tantric worldview, are physical, like our eyes and our senses have this notion of us as being these solid objects, but that we're also energetic in nature. The nature of us in a more real way is energetic, and I think most scientists would agree with that. And it's interesting that this kind of yoga, tantric yoga, made not just this observation, like a philosophy of what we are, but they also interpreted it as, okay, well, if we're energy, then we should be able to make shifts in that energy. And so they developed tools for doing that. And the tools are, by design, something we can all do personally. So it's a very empowering kind of a practice. And the tools that we typically use are sound, visualization, breath work, movement, like asana practice is a very tantric practice. So all of these simple, personal, easy to do things to make a shift in our energy. And the practice that we're going to do today is about something in our nature, and it's why Alan said it's a good practice for doing right now, this part of the year, because we usually think of this part of the year as like a chance to begin something anew, a chance to let go of the old and start something fresh and move through. And in the sort of visualization framework of what we're going to do today, we have this notion of we are these individual little experiencing objects, right? We each have our own way of seeing things. We have our own identity, a personality, all these things that are about separateness, being different, right? But we're also part of the whole thing that is the complete unity of everything, right? Just by definition, we're a part of everything. And what yogis try to do through the course of practice is to relate to both of those aspects of ourselves. And the word yoga literally means to yoke those things back together again, to be able to experience yourself in your separateness, but to also be able to experience yourself as the wholeness, right? And in doing that, you then come back into your separateness with a different perspective. You see things differently. It feels different when you have this sense that you're part of something bigger. I mean, even in a mundane way, when we feel like we're part of a community, we feel different. We feel better. We feel more whole. So imagine feeling part of the whole of everything, right? It's a very good feeling. Huh? And we have words like ananda, which means blissfulness, right? When you get a little feeling of that, when you start to relate from that place, when you're coming back into your world. So in our kriya today, in our practice of moving the energy around today, we're going to look at this notion of unbound energy, which is what we are experiencing when we're doing meditation, and then this individual self, which is what we experience when we walk around in New York City. And the way that we're going to conceive of how do you take unbound energy and make it be these individuals is we're going to lasso this energy and tie three knots, right? Three knots to hold the unbound energy to make it something that now we're just using the energy for this, okay? So it's a very kind of like easy and elegant notion of who are we? The three knots of energy relate to the way that everything in our experiencing world works. And that is that things have a beginning, they're around for a while, and then they conclude. They start, they're here, they end. And when you think linearly, that's just it, the end of it, right? Where did it come from? Who knows? It started, right? But when you think about things as this is the way everything is going on in this bigger universe, it's not that things end, it's that they transform into something else, right? Something begins, it's this way for a while, then that thing is transformed, it's destroyed in order to become something else, right? In a way, our meditation practice is exactly that. We begin to practice, we hold our practice for a while, and we literally destroy the confusion, the illusion, the sense of smallness that we had before we did the practice. And then we come back now, we're like again, starting over with this new perspective, right? So then the sustaining, the thing that happens over the course of that day is changed by what took place in this destruction of the way we were before we did the practice, right? So everything is always going through this. And of course, our whole lives are one big arc of that, right? And history is one even bigger arc of that. So always we have these three components going on. The more we can see those, the more we can kind of notice that that's going on, the easier it is to start to relate to those phases of things when we encounter something. And then it's not so dramatic. Right? Like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I explicitly talk to my wife now when we plan something and we know it's going to be a challenging moment somewhere along the way, I'll say, you know, we're going to have this challenging moment down the way. And then when it comes up, I'll say, we knew this was coming. This is that challenging moment, right? Like if you're planning to do some big project or something like that. So you start to notice that those cycles are always occurring, and then it's not so big of a deal when they come about, right? I hear on the news a lot of commentators who are more level-headed saying, well, someday there won't be Donald Trump in the White House, right? That's one of those kinds of ways of thinking about it. It's like, we're in a cycle, and this is where we are in the cycle right now, but that's going to change because it's still a cycle, right? So we have more and more this recognition of those things. So in our own bubble, right, in our own person, we have those three forces, the beginning, the start of things, and yogis think of it as being related to the energies that we have down in our base. These are the energies of our own survival. We have to take care of that just to get started. Right? Just to be alive, we have to take care of eating, processing food, developing energy, having some desire to get something done, and making sure we can survive, having a roof over our head, having resources, all of that stuff. In Sanskrit, the name of this beginning phase is Brahma. And so we think of this down here as being the knot of Brahma. I talked about tying the energy up in three knots. So the first knot is the Brahma, and the Sanskrit word for knot is granti. So Brahma granti is the base. Okay. So if we get stuck there, we don't. This knot gets too tight, right? Then we never want to leave that stuff. And that's pretty much a description of where we find ourselves in the world right now. We're just focused on surviving, right? Get me more stuff, then I'll be happy, right? That's our focal point. But then the next piece of the cycle that we have to allow to happen, we think of in yoga as being here in our physical body, and it's that sustaining thing. And how do you sustain once you're surviving? You have to come into the right relationship with everything and do whatever is your role in the bigger group, right? So it requires you to learn, how do I relate to you? And the more that can be easy, the more it's in balance, the easier, the more graceful we are able to complete our role in this gigantic universe, right? This energy of sustaining is called Vishnu Granti. So we want that to be able to free flow so that we can take the beginnings, get through the interactions, and then move on, right? And moving on is this third Granti, the third knot of energy, of the destroying small ideas of what's going on so that we can move on to bigger ideas of what's going on. This is called Rudra Granti, right? So if we get stuck in any of those things, we're going to be like fighting nature, because nature always wants these cycles. If we get too much stuck in here, we look like America today. We get too much stuck in here, we never want things to change, right? Where we say, no, I finally got it, just let me keep it, right? So you don't evolve. And then if you only get stuck in destruction, right, then you're never allowing something new to build, become like catastrophe, right? Which is a little bit about what happened in 2016 also. It's like, you know, just blow the thing up and let's see if we can get a better thing, right? So we have to let all three of those things have a quality of they're containing us so that we're in the world and we're surviving and relating and growing, evolving. But the movement among those things, among the cycle, has to be loose. It has to be loose in a way that it's both here and it lets us move between them. When we do meditation, we're interested not just in moving in the cycle, but to actually transcend the cycle for a moment, to recognize that we are both in this cycle of nature and we are the wholeness, right? So we take this ability to move in our own body to go through all three of the grantees and then be above the grantees or beyond the grantees, to be in the unbound component of it. So we'll sit in meditation when this is loose and be able to move our energy through these three areas and then to be able to sit sort of on the mountaintop, right? In a space where there's no activity going on. So in our practice today, we're going to work with breath as a way to generate the energy that we're going to use to loosen these knots, to take them from their overly tight phase, put them in the right looseness so that we can move from the base through to the center, from the center through to the head, from the head through to beyond, right? We'll use Bastrika breath, which is an in-out breath. So it sounds like this, right? You're just breathing in and out. When you do that for the first Granti, Brahma Granti, it's strong. So you might even feel yourself like ejecting off the floor, right? On the exhales, it's strong. Once we've done that breath, and you can do it up to 27 times, and I'll refresh us on all this as we go, I'll lead it step by step. We'll hold our breath, and we'll use a mudra, hand gesture, in each of these phases. So we're sort of layering up energy treatments here. One is the breath, The second is what we're visualizing, that we're loosening this knot. The third is what we're doing with our hands. So for this, we're going to take our thumbs and hook them onto the front of your pelvis. And I happen to have a pelvis right here. So if you see on this little tiny skeleton who's much smaller than you are, so don't get confused about the scale. The front of the pelvis, sometimes we think of that as being kind of in the back and underneath us, but the front points are right in the front. So if you poke in right here with your thumbs, you'll feel bone. Yeah? So we're going to take our thumbs and hook them just over that bone. So it becomes like a little place to latch your thumb. And then the fingertips are in the center line. So in the rectus abdominis muscles, the muscles that are right up the two sides of our belly. Okay? And by making a little clamp like that, we'll literally make some space by drawing this sense, it doesn't have to be hard, just this sense of opening, right? Pulling apart. And then while our breath is held, we'll do that mudra. And then we'll envision, after we let our breath out, the energy moving from that kranti to free it. The knot is now loose, and then it will move up into the second space. The second space, we'll again do Bhastrika breath, but we'll do it by taking our hands out to the sides like wings. So the fingertips are pulled in, the thumbs point up. You can practice this if you want. And we'll breathe in and out. And as we breathe in and out now, it's not so much in the base now, it's in our chest. So the feeling will be more like expansion of the chest, the rib cage out and back. When we're done with up to 27 times, inhale, hold your breath, lock your thumbs, point to the sky, pull this in, and envision this granti, this knot of energy, getting loose. So that when you need to let your breath out, you'll lower your hands down and envision this energy flowing up into the third granti. For the third one, we use the coolest mudra of them all. The thumbs are just blocking with the little flaps that are in front of your ears. A nurse told me they're called the tragus. I think that I'm remembering that right. And then the fingertips are along the center line of your head. And we'll do again the in and out, but now it's a little softer because it's just in your head, up to 27. And then rotate your fingers, and we're doing yoni mudra. So the first two fingers are over your eyelids, the upper eyelid, the lower eyelid. The bottom two fingers are clamping your cheekbone. Your thumbs are still blocking your ears. So all together, we're turning off our senses so that we can come inward. All right? So we'll hold that. When you need to, you can let your breath out. When you let your breath out, you can let your hands down. Sometimes it feels really nice to be so closed in with this mudra. So after you let your breath out, if it's okay, you could keep your hands there until your shoulders get tired and then let your hands down. So those three phases will let the energy move from here, survival, to here, sustaining, to here, transformation, the destruction of ignorance in essence, right, and of confusion, and then from there, we'll just let it move into something that's basically beyond your anatomy, just like in the middle of your consciousness. And we'll just stay there then for 18 minutes. Okay. Questions about any of that? Cool. Who's new to class? I know you are. So we're going to do a little talk that just ended. We're going to do a little asana so that it's easy to sit. I'll lead us through the practice I just described. We'll sit for 18 minutes in silence. You can sit against a wall or prop up. I can help you with a seat if you need one. And then we'll take what you touched in the meditation and bring it back down center by center so that what you touch in your meditation can have an influence on your day. Right, it's not just some abstract thing that we do on Saturday morning. but it's actually shifting your energy, making the transformation. So for that, we'll use some mantra. If you don't know them, which I'm sure you don't know them, you can just be there and the sound vibration will have the same impact. Okay. Cool. Come onto all fours. And we'll begin with a little pre-meditative asana. All easy poses, simple to do, just to get your body a little more comfortable. As you breathe in, curl your toes under, arch and open the cow. As you breathe out, take the tops of your feet to the floor and press everything into the floor to round your back. And then move between those two. Inhale toward the floor with your belly and your chest. Exhale away from the floor, pushing up towards the sky. Move on your breath for both of the postures.
For those of you who are newer to practice, you know, we usually think of meditation as just, okay, I'm just sitting here and I'm not doing anything. It's very hard to just sit and not do anything unless you've prepared for it, unless you've gotten your mind and your body into a state that's calm. So all of these practices are designed to push through the various obstacles to getting calm and quiet and internal.
Moving on your breath is one of the more powerful ways to start to shift your whole nervous system toward a more calm state. So here we are doing that and also getting our body a little bit more loosened up. After your next inhale, as you exhale, take your seat back to your heels. And often we call this child's pose, but for this practice, we're going to call it seal. We're sealing our focus inward. On your next breath in, come right up on your knees. Raise your arms overhead. Bali pose, like the country. Exhale all the way down to the seal. Inhale back to that upper part of the cat-cow and let your hips lower toward cobra. You can bend your elbows so it's not too big of a back bend. And exhale right back to the seal. So there were four poses. Inhale, Bali. Exhale, seal. Inhale, cobra. And you can use straight arms, but don't hurt your back. Bend them if you need to. And exhale, seal.
Bali, seal.
Cobra, seal. And you can move on your own breath now. Each breath in, there's an expansion. On each breath out, closing back in. The next time that you're back in the seal, pause there and take your awareness, your focus back inside. And often that just feels like I'm just in my head with my thoughts, and that's appropriate, that's fine. But we're moving away from the place where we're always getting more data. always looking at something, always listening to something. Instead, we're listening and looking inward. And eventually, as we do that, less and less comes up. The next little shift we're going to do in our body is to turn our energy line on its head, like those three grantis we're turning upside down. You can use downward facing dog to do that, so upside down V. You can use a headstand if you have a easy headstand in your yoga practice. You can do downward dog on your forearms if it's hard on your wrist to hold downward dog. I'm just putting our head toward the earth, and that Brahma Granthi, the base, up towards the sky. So now gravity is helping us with that same thing we're going to do in our meditation practice, starting the process. Place you notice the effect of turning upside down is when you turn right side up again. So keep your attention inward. Go ahead and lower down onto your knees. Sit up on your heels. Keep your eyes closed during that time just to feel the effect of having been upside down. Maybe you'll feel a little spacey, or maybe your breath will shift dramatically. Maybe your breath will pause. Maybe you won't feel much of anything. Keep your inward focus, but let your eyes gently open and sit over onto the right side of your feet. When I do this, my hips go way off to the side. It's uncomfortable, so I like to sit up on something. Feel free to do the same. You could sit on a blanket or a block. And then hook your right toes across your left ankle. This makes this nice little bind to hold your base. Set your hand down where your feet are. And then raise your right arm up. So we're arcing over to the side. Yogis observed ages ago this phenomenon that we have a dominance on one side of our breathing, that we breathe stronger through one nostril. And you really get it's easy to notice this when you have a cold, because one side is totally blocked, and then later the other side is totally blocked. So this dominance switches. In the moment between the switch, we pull in like we do in a daydream. And that's something we're going to take advantage of in our practice today, starting with this pose, which is activating one side. And now go ahead and lower down, and we'll activate the other side by switching around. So now your feet are on the other side. Maybe hook your left toes across your right ankle, set your right hand down, and raise your left arm up, making this side bigger, stronger. The breath moves more into that side. on your next inhale, come back upright. And then swing your legs straight out in front of you. And we find ourselves in the staff pose. Here again, you might need a blanket to sit on if it's hard to sit all the way up tall. And we're just going to stay in this upright seat, but try to get a sense of, not your spine exactly, but the sense of your own central energy line from your base at the pelvic floor, right through the heart center, right through the middle of your head to the crown of your head. It's like you're looking at the directions we're going to head before we go there. We're going to move from our base, through our middle, up into the head, and then into the beyond. Let's go ahead and release that. Shake your legs out. And make your way into an easy seat. We're going to begin with this left-right balancing idea by using alternate nostril breathing. Let your left hand rest on your knee. Join your index finger and thumb on that hand. This creates a circuit of energy that helps you stay inward. With your right hand, the ring finger and thumb are going to be on the sides of your nose. The first two fingers could rest on your forehead. That's probably the easiest way. There's a more classical way of tucking the first two fingers in your palm, so that's another option. So either way, look with your ring finger and thumb at the side of your nose, starting closer to your eyes. It's bony, but as you work your way toward the tips of your nose, there's a spot where the bone ends and it becomes soft. So if you press in there on the sides, you would block your breath, and that's what we're going to do. Do a little experiment, a little test to see, is one of the sides dominant? Is one more moving air more easily than the other, more open? And if you can identify a side that's more open, that's the side we'll start with. So block the side that's already more blocked and breathe in through the side that's more open. And close and block both. Release out the other side. Come back in the side you just breathed out from. Close and lock both. And then switch to the other side. And we're going to keep going out and back in the same side now. Then switch over. and go out and back in the other side. And that will set up the alternating wave. Out and in, then switch. Out and back in, then switch. It's easy to get distracted, so if you do, just start over, out and back in, then switch. And if you're congested and it's hard to breathe, you can use your mouth to help with the air, but still press the points on the side of your nose. Next time that you cycle around to exhaling through the side you started on, if you can remember, let that conclude the cycle. If you don't remember the side, just pick a side. Keep your eyes closed and your focus inward now. Let your hand release down over your knee. Join the index finger and thumb on your right hand as well. And we'll begin with the Bhastrika breath for this Brahma Granthi, this lowest section of our body. So the breath is in and out with some energy. And at the end of 27 times, we'll do that hooking of the thumbs at the front of the pelvis and the fingers down the center. So go ahead on your own now, in, out, up to 27 times. After your last one, inhale all the way, hold your breath, tuck your chin, lift at the pelvic floor, bring your thumbs to that front of the pelvis and your fingers on the center, and then lift and lower your chin a few times, which stretches the brainstem and really gets this energy to move. And after lifting and lowering your chin, just tuck your chin, hold your breath. When you need to, let the breath out and envision this energy loosening and floating up into the middle of your body. Let your hands release and rest over your knees again. Just let your breath rebalance. And your body get calm again. And now with your focus in the middle section of your body, take your hands, your like fists almost, to your chest, and then open your arms out to the side, a little higher than your shoulders. Pull just your fingertips in, and your thumbs point to the sky. And again, we'll do the Bhastrika breath, up to 27. If it's too many, it starts to feel uncomfortable, just stop. Feeling it more in the rib cage, moving out and back in. Take a full breath in when you're finished. Interlace your thumbs, point your fingertips to the sky. tuck your chin a little, lift at the pelvic floor, and envision this knot of energy loosening in your middle. When you need to let your breath out, go ahead and let your arms release down, your chin float back to neutral, and the energy move up into your head. Just experience that as your breath rebalances. Now we'll let the energy move by releasing the Rudra Granthi in the head. So bring your thumbs up just in front of those flaps at your ears so you can still hear for a moment. Your fingertips along the center line. And we'll do, again, 27 Bastrika breaths, but now smaller, just so you can feel them in your head. And then when you hold your breath this time, rotate your hands so that your upper and lower eyelids are pressed by the first two fingers. Your cheekbone is clamped by the lower two fingers and will stay there as long as you need. When you let your breath out, you can then just surrender the energy into the space between the middle of your brain and the crown of your head. So go ahead now, lock your ears and up to 27 little Bastrika breaths. When you're done, hold your breath, spin your hands, so now your first two fingers are on your eyelids, bottom two fingers on your cheek, holding your breath, and let the energy release there to bring you beyond your body, beyond your individuality.
need to stay on the edge of this meditation, to be both in it and focusing outward. Begin by bringing the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth. Bring your palms lightly together in front of the heart center. And when your hands touch, that's going to try to pull you out. So go back into your meditation. And rather focus on your hands as energy rather than objects with names. Move your tongue behind the upper teeth to the gum line. And invite the wisdom of your meditation as energy to flow down into the palms of your hands as energy. And then take those hands, move them slightly, and you might feel the tingliness of your hands moving. And if you move your hands slightly apart, you might still feel the energy now, not as touch, but as the heat that radiates as energy. Radiates from energy. Move your hands farther apart and back toward each other, and you might feel the magnetism that comes from energy. And bring your hands up over your eyes, and you may experience the light of energy. Whatever the sensations that you experience, just continue to direct now the wisdom from your meditation, the unbound quality of who you are, to flow now through your hands, through your eyes, into Ajna Chakra in the midbrain, our command center, to help us have wisdom governing all our decisions, all our actions that we endeavor upon. The mantra that helps foster this wisdom flowing in our lives is Om Namah Shivaya. So we'll chant that. You can either chant along or just let the sound resonate through you. Bring your palms together in front of the brow center. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Bring your hands back over your eyes and draw the energy down toward the throat center. If you like, at your jaw, you can give a little massage around to the back of your neck. But ultimately, cross both hands over at the throat and direct the wisdom of your meditation into this headquarters for communication and expression, so that whatever it is that you're expressing through your living is filled with wisdom and purpose and meaning. The mantra Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha.
Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha. Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha. Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha.
Draw the energy of your meditation down to the heart center, the headquarters we were focusing on in our practice today. And having cleared that center from stuck emotion, let wisdom flow in its place to fill you with compassion, understanding, a lovingness that doesn't require anything in return. The mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya.
Draw the energy of your meditation down to the navel center. Here, let your hands be in a special mudra, the right hand facing down, the left palm facing up, so you can clasp your hands and pull the heels of your hands right against your navel. This helps reinforce the energy to hold here. And we'll bring the wisdom here so that you can have clarity in this transformation center that lets you take the actions that you need to have the courage for that, to have the know-how for that. The mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om.
From the navel center, draw the energy down to the pelvis. Here we have our headquarters for passion, for desires, for the things we like, the things we don't like that draw us and repel us. Bring the wisdom and insight from your meditation here so that you can sort through those desires that are actually meant to draw you towards your purpose in life, so that you have the clarity to let you slice through all the rest. The mantra, Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha.
Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha.
Point your fingertips right on to the pubic bone and direct that energy of your meditation right to your base at the pelvic floor. And having sent it there, if you like, you can use the other version of Yoni Mudra, interlacing your pinky, the ring finger, and your middle finger. Point the index fingers toward the floor and the thumbs towards the sky. And to bring wisdom and insight into this center of structure and stability in your life so that you have prosperity, ease in your work and in your family. The mantra, Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha.
Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha. Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha. Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha.
Wrap your index finger and thumb at the crease line between thigh and torso and ground yourself here. Press down right into the earth. And to ensure that there are no obstacles to all this wisdom flowing, that you don't have any blocks that keep your wisdom from influencing all the aspects of your living, we use one final mantra. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha.
Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha.
Massage from hip to knee, bringing the energy into your legs so that you can reground, come back to your physical active life. Massage around your knees, down your shins, and then from behind your knee, walk your thumb right down to your ankles. You can unwind your legs if you need. And then grab your ankles tight, helps you get reconnected with your feet and your ankles. Massage from your heel to each toe, one long line. From your heel to each toe, bringing those five elemental forces back into focus. Earth, water, fire, air, space. And then unwind your legs and make your way onto your back into Shavasana, the corpse pose. now with your system clear and harmonious, begin to wake yourself back up. Move your fingers and your toes.
Run your thumbs across your fingertips. Turn your head a little side to side.
Invite your breath to come a little deeper. And on a nice inhale, lift your arms up overhead behind you. Stretch along through your right side from your fingers out through your toes. And then through your left side from fingers to toes. Bend your knees, draw them in, wrap your hands around your shins and rock yourself a little side to side. Set your feet down on the floor and press up into the bridge pose, lifting your hips. You can take your arms underneath you and interlace your fingers, or just press your upper arms into the floor with your fingers pointing toward the sky to create this nice opening in your front body. Come up on the balls of your feet, separate your hands, roll your way back down. Walk your feet wide out to the edges of your mat and lower both knees over to the right side. And set your right foot on top of the left to give your left thigh a nice little inner twist at your hip after sitting with your legs open for so long. Come back up to center and switch the windshield wipers over to the other side. Put your left foot on top of the right thigh. Back to center, hug those knees in, rock your way all the way up to sitting. If you're feeling a little spacey, set your right hand just below your navel, the left on top of the right, and press in as you tilt forward right to where you have to hold on from your base to keep from falling forward. Let yourself identify with that base, your legs, your roots. And then come back upright, bring your palms together in front of the heart center. And at the end of our regrounding, we chanted to Ganesha to make sure there were no obstacles. And as you do these practices, they work. They are doing their work on you. So just trust that you're doing the work and it's manifesting in your life in the perfect way. Hari Om, Om Tat Sat. Have a lovely day. Namaste.
Namaste. That's today's episode. Thanks a lot for listening to Peter's podcast. I hope that you find real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living through your practice. Please support me on Patreon. Rate the podcast. Namaste.